It sure is good to see everybody here this morning. As I look out into the audience, I see we do have several people that are visiting with us here this Lord's Day. We hope that you feel welcome. As a matter of fact, we hope that you feel so welcome that whenever you are in this area again, that you will have the desire to come back and to worship God together with us again whenever you are here. Before we get into the sermon this morning, there's two things I would like to speak to you about. This has been a wonderful week, an absolutely wonderful week. Friday, our hearts rejoiced when Kirsten obeyed the gospel, and we welcome her to the body of Christ. And then yesterday, our hearts rejoiced again when my brother-in-law and Linda's brother flew in from Iraq. I personally would like to thank the entire congregation for your prayers in his behalf. Even though he was at Victory Base, one time a rocket was fired into the base, and the trailer next to his was demolished. And so even though he was in a safe place, it was not totally safe. And I thank you for his prayers in his behalf, and he's home now, and hopefully he won't have to ever go back there again. There are several others, though, that are connected even to this congregation that we know. Let's continue to remember Mickey's son and also Brenda's son. They're still in Iraq, and I'm sure there are others that we need to remember. And hopefully that they will have a safe journey home to be back with their families also. If you didn't get a copy of the sermon outline, if you take your Bible and be turning to the book of Deuteronomy, you will find that the primary text of our sermon this morning is going to be coming from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy is the last revelation received by Moses. You need to understand the setting here. Moses is speaking to the children of Israel, realizing that soon he is going to no longer be with them. And he's been leading them now for over a generation, for over 40 years through the wilderness, and before that back in Egypt, leading them across the Red Sea, down to Mount Sinai. He has been leading them now for decades after decades. And he realizes this will probably be the last time he will have an opportunity to speak to them. Deuteronomy is reminding the children of Israel of the law of God and their relationship and responsibility to God under this covenant now that they have with God. And here we find in the 4th, the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th, and the 8th chapters, especially of Deuteronomy, where Moses is trying to warn the children of Israel about going into apostasy. And he gives them primarily four warnings here in this text in Deuteronomy that we can learn from today. Please recognize that Israel was a holy nation, selected by God, chosen by God. And yet, whenever you get over to the book of Judges, getting now into the body of the sermon outline, in Judges chapter 2, verse 10 through 11, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. What we see here in the book of Judges in the very beginning of it is everything that Moses warned them about in Deuteronomy, they did not heed that warning. They did not listen to what he said. And as a consequence, when the generation that had seen the miracles of God, that had crossed over the Jordan River and conquered the Promised Land, that generation, when it passed away, the next generation that came after it, folks, it didn't take long. The next generation did not know God. And as a consequence, God's chosen people, God's elect, God's holy nation turned from God. Please understand this, folks. God will never leave us. If any leaving is ever going to be done, it will be us leaving God. That's what apostasy is all about, us leaving God. And what we're going to be doing in our sermon this morning, we're going to be going back to the warnings that Moses gave to the children of Israel and realize that we need to heed the same warnings today, because today we are God's Israel, we are God's elect, we are God's chosen people, and if we do not heed the warning, we too, or even the next generation, we will leave the Lord and go into apostasy. The first thing we're going to look at from Deuteronomy is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 through 13. The text reads, "And beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Let me go back to the verse above first. Well, if I can find it. Here we go. I want you to notice he starts off right here with a warning. Beware. What is the warning? That you do not forget the Lord your God. What is a manifestation of their forgetting the Lord their God? They would no longer be keeping his commandments. They would no longer be keeping his judgments and his statutes that were commanded to them in the covenant given at Mount Sinai. And then he tells them when this could possibly come about. When you have eaten and are full. When you've built beautiful houses and dwell in them. Continuing on now. When you drop down here, it says, your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all they have is multiplied. And when this happens, when they've got lots of silver and gold, plenty of food, nice houses to live in, when that happens, their heart gets lifted up with pride. And he says, the end conclusion is, and you forget the Lord your God. The book of Hosea tells us, again, what happened to the children of Israel. Chapter 13, verse 6. When they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled and their hearts was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me. You see the warning in Deuteronomy. You see they didn't heed the warning in Hosea. And the fact of the matter is when they went in, they took the promised land. And then they had nice houses they lived in. Plenty of food. Plenty of gold and silver. Then the idea is, look what I've done. Aren't I great? I once had an older gospel preacher tell me, I wish the depression would come back again. And when he first said that to me, I thought, what? You got to be kidding. From the way my father described it, those were some difficult times. And this is what he said to me. During those difficult times, Americans were very conscious of their need for God. And what has happened to America is now we have become so wealthy that we are comfortable and God is not at the center of our thoughts. We don't even think we need God anymore. We can take care of it ourselves. The truth of the matter is we are a wealthy nation. We have nice homes, plenty of food. Please listen. There's a danger when we have this much wealth. And the danger is that we forget the Lord our God. You remember Jesus preaching about the parable of the sower, don't you? When he was talking about the thorny ground, and he talked about how the seed that falls among the thorny ground is like these individuals who receive the Word of God for a while. They're rejoicing when they receive the Word of God and they believe. But then he talks about how, get this now, the cares of the world, they choke it out. Let me ask you, do you have a lot of things in your life that are screaming for your attention? Saying, pay attention to me. Fix me. Take care of this. Be concerned about this. In our life, it is very easy to get so consumed with all these things out there that are screaming for our time and our attention, that we lose focus. We lose focus of what it's really all about. It is not all about my cars. It is not all about my house. It is not all about my possessions. What our existence is all about, folks, is our relationship with God. That's it. That's what it's all about. And the cares of the world can cause us to lose focus of that reality to where we get so concerned about everything else that we don't even think about God. The more stuff you have, the more stuff you have to take care of. You ever figured that out? And sometimes when you get all these things, they're going to start crying out, fix me, take care of me. And again, it is very easy to start getting comfortable because you don't think you have many needs. You got a house, you got plenty of food. We can still have the same danger today that the children of Israel did. They didn't heed this warning. They didn't listen to it. And when they got their land, and when they got their money, when they got their food, their heart was lifted up with pride, and they did forget the Lord. And as a consequence of forgetting the Lord, they left God. And they started worshiping Baal and Ashtaroth. I would like to look at the New Testament now with you, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is dealing with the Lord's Supper, in verse 24 and 25. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. I want you to notice twice he talks about in partaking of the Lord's Supper that you do this in remembrance of him. Matter of fact, if I remember correctly, that's what's on the front of our table up there. In remembrance of me. Now, what do you get from the word remember? I think when I think about the word remember, is that it's very easy for me to forget. Let me ask you, how often is Christ crucified on your mind? How easy is it for you to get caught up in all the other activities and responsibilities of life that you really don't pay too much attention and thought to the fact that the Son of God died at Calvary so your sins could be forgiven? It is very easy to forget. God understands the way we human beings are. One of the primary purposes of the Lord's Supper is to get us to slow down and to come back in our worship to God, to focus on what it is again all about, folks. The very core of the gospel is Christ crucified, his body nailed to the cross for us, and his blood that was shed so our sins could be forgiven. And in the hustle and bustle of your everyday activity, don't forget that. Don't forget it. Don't forget the Lord. Don't forget that that's what it's all about, is your relationship with him. Have God at the very center of your life every day. He's not just part of your life. He is your life. Peter, in 2 Peter, and again, there's a common denominator between 2 Peter and Deuteronomy. The common denominator is Peter realizes he's going to die soon. And this is the last revelation that he's receiving, and he's writing it to Christians. And it's very similar to Deuteronomy in this regard, and that is, he's warning them to remember and not forget. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason, I will not be diligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. And again in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Let's look at this again. For this reason, I will not be negligent to do what? To remind you. To remind them of what? To remind them of Christ crucified. To remind them of what Christianity is all about. And again, he already says that you know these things. You're establishing these present truths. Let me tell you something, brethren. It's important for you to come to worship services to hear the Word of God, even though you may have heard the sermon before. It's important to go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read about the ministry of Jesus, read about his death, burial, and resurrection to time and time and time again. Even though we know it, it's important for us to go back and focus our mind and our attention on it again. So we will begin to understand what it's all about. And not lose focus and not forget God and not let go of God because we have forgotten him. Again, he says in 2 Peter, I'll just read one more time. I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things. Go back to the Word of God and read it again and again. If you find you're struggling with your faith, I would like to tell you to do this. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Pick one. And read it again. Just slow down and let it be digested in your heart. Focus on the love of God for you again. Focus on Christ crucified. It will strengthen your faith and your relationship with God and help you to have God at the center of your life. The second thing that Moses tries to warn the children of Israel about is found in chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 6 through 9. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. I'm going to read verse 7 later on. Right now I'm going to drop down to verse 8. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. The second thing that Moses warns the children of Israel about is their relationship with the Word of God. And he tells them that what he wants them to do is, again, these words which I command you today, you keep them in your heart. You don't forget the Word of God. You don't forget the commandments of God. And he goes as far as telling them that they need to make signs for their hands and frontlets in front of their eyes, put it on the doorpost of their house, have scriptures all around them. And so that when they have these scriptures all around them, they look at the scripture and they remember the will and the Word of God. Do you realize the same thing is true for us today? The same thing is true for us today. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And again in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I will be honest with you, brethren. One of my pet peeves is hearing preachers get up and tell cutesy stories with no scripture. Just fluff. Not even milk from the Word of God. Just fluff. What you and I both need is a good, strong diet of the Word of God. And it is the responsibilities of the evangelist and the ministers and the preachers to preach the Word. To give you and I a balanced diet of the Word of God to where we will have the Word of God dwelling in our hearts and minds richly. One of the great dangers to the Israel of God, to God's chosen people and elect individuals, is ignorance and a lack of understanding and knowledge of the Word of God. If you do not know what the truth is and the commands of God, you are easy pickings for false teachings and false philosophies that are floating around in the world out there. The point I'm trying to get across to us, brethren, is this. Know what you believe and know why you believe it. Search the Scriptures on your own in the privacy of your home. Spend time with the Word of God reading it. That's the only way we're going to get it into our hearts and minds is through our eyes and ears. Through you listening to it possibly on tape or CD, or through you listening to it on sermons, or through you reading it on your own. If you take a glass and you fill it with water and you turn it sideways, what comes out? Water. If you take your heart and you fill it with the Word of God to where it's dwelling in you richly, filling up your heart and your mind, what is going to come out in your life is the Word of God. Don't forget the Word of God. Let it be in your heart. Now then, I'll go back to verse 7. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You don't forget God's Word yourself. But not only do you not forget God's Word yourself, you also teach your children. They're the next generation. One of the biggest mistakes we can make with our children is assuming that because they attend worship services, that they have a good working knowledge of the Scriptures. Never assume faith. Never assume knowledge of the Word of God. It is the function of the body of Christ, our primary function, to be a teaching institution, to where we are teaching the Word of God to those out in the world and to those that are members of the body of Christ, to where we can help them understand what the will of God is for them in their lives. But you need to realize this, my friends. The majority of the teaching is not going to be done here in this congregation. The majority of the teaching is going to be done in our homes. In the text here, we see how the children of Israel did it. They seized the moments when they were with their children. You talk with them when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you're going to bed and you're lying down, when you're getting up in the morning and you're rising up. You seize those moments when you're with your children and talk to them. If we do not talk to them, we may be in danger of raising a generation that does not know the Word of God, and as a consequence of not knowing the will of God, they don't know God, and they're going to be easy pickings for any philosophy or ideology or false teaching that comes down the road. Again, I'm going to ask all of us parents this question. What do you want for your children more than anything? I want mine to go to heaven. You can go to college if you can afford it. That's nice. Hope you have good jobs. Hope you have good health. Hope you have good families. But if you're Christians, I don't really care about the rest. Although I hope those things would be good in your life. If you go to heaven, that's the main thing. The way we can help this come to pass is by sharing with our children our knowledge of God's great love for us. Help them to come to understand that God does exist. This world didn't come into existence by chance. There's a Creator out there. And He's a holy Creator. And He loves us. He loves us so much He gave His Son to die for us. Help them come to understand what Christianity really is. That is taking up your cross daily and following Jesus as their Lord and their King in their life by faith. Help them come to understand what the morals of Christianity are all about. To where when they do get out there in the world on their own, and you know it's coming, they will have their own wings of faith with which they can not merely fly, but soar. We want them to make it to heaven. Look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 6. That may be hard to read on the overhead because there's so much up there, but I'll try to get with it and read it all to you. Deuteronomy 6, 20 through 25. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, "What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you?" Then you shall say to your son, "We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed us signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and his household. Then he brought us from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he commanded us." As I said, there's quite a bit there. But basically, he's saying, your children see you doing the Passover. And they say, "Dad, why are we going to Jerusalem? Why are we taking this lamb with us?" You explain to them what it's all about. You go to Passover. "Dad, why are we going to Jerusalem again? We were up here 50 days ago. Why are we going back?" You explain to them what it's all about. You go to the Feast of Tabernacles, you go to the temple to offer a sacrifice in their service to God. When they were worshiping God, they were to explain to their children why they were doing what they were doing. Why do we take the Lord's Supper? "Mom, Dad, why you want to go down there and sing again? We were there last week. Why you go down there? Why you pray? I don't see anybody there." Explain to your children why we pray. Explain to your children what the Lord's Supper is all about. Explain to your children why we're singing and who we're singing to. Explain to them worship. Explain to them God and why He's worthy of worship. Do not assume they know it. Let me ask you this. Why are most Muslims Muslim? Because they were raised in a Muslim environment. Why are most Hindu Hindu? Because they were raised in a Hindu environment. Well, Christianity's not that way, right? Surprise. There are people raised in a Christian environment who really, when it gets down to it, they don't know what they believe. Much less why they believe it. It's just what everybody else does. What I'm trying to get across to us, brethren, is let it be your faith based upon your knowledge of the Scriptures. And you spend time with your children preparing the soil of their hearts. You know, you might be working with them on memory verses. And I remember doing this. I was working with my children on memory verses. And they were doing real good with them. And then one day I said, well, what does that verse mean? And you know what they did? They went, And they didn't have a clue what the verse meant. They were children. But you know what happened, folks, when they became young men and young ladies? The verse is in there, and all of a sudden, boom, the light goes on. They understand exactly what it's talking about. It's called the age of understanding. You work with them when they're young. You're preparing the souls of their heart when they're young. You're helping them learn the Word of God when they're young. Teaching them about God and His great love for them when they're young. And then when they reach that age of understanding, boom, I understand now who He is, what sin is all about, because I've done it, and I understand why Christ died. And you'll find because you've worked with the soil of their heart for so long, they take the Word of God quickly into their heart, and it's their faith, not yours. Your children are not going to get to heaven on your faith. They've got to fly and walk and live by their own faith. So work with them. Teach them. Spend time with them. Explaining to them your knowledge of who God is and what He's done for all of us. As Ephesians puts it in Ephesians 6 and 4, and your fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Again, the majority of the work has always been expected to be done by the parents. Please, parents, heed the warning. Otherwise, there may arise another generation that does not know God. And then finally, the last point, Deuteronomy 7 and verse 2 through 4. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. And so the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. When you go to Judges, you find in Judges chapter 2, verse 2 through 3, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and you shall tear down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? The command was originally given back here in Deuteronomy 7. They didn't obey the command. They went into the land. They possessed the land. They had plenty of food, lots of gold and silver. The very first step was their heart was lifted up with pride and they forgot God. And then they forgot the Word of God. God's Word was not in their heart. And then they didn't spend time teaching their children the Word of God. And as a consequence of this, when they went into the Promised Land, listen folks, there was a vacuum in their hearts and a vacuum in the heart of their children with nothing there. And what went into that vacuum was the religion of Canaan, the religion that was already there. They just took what was around them and lived that way. The point I'm trying to get across is this. If we are not having the Word of God filling up our hearts, something else will go in. If we do not teach our children the Word of God and get them grounded in their own faith, I promise you that when they are out there in the world, they are going to be bombarded with multitudes of philosophies and teachings and ideologies. And if they don't know what they believe and why they believe it, don't be surprised if some of these philosophies go into their heart and they believe it. Every year when graduation comes, I'm happy for the graduates, but I am afraid for them. Because I understand when they go to the universities, they are going to be hit right and left with philosophies and teachings that say there is no God and that we came into this world by chance, and that there's going to be teachings out there that the Bible is just another book. It's not really a revelation from God. They're going to have their faith tested like you cannot imagine. And if their faith is not real and grounded, do not be surprised if they come out of the college no longer even believing in God. What we need to do is, first of all, beware that we don't forget God. And second of all, make sure that the Word of God is dwelling in our heart richly. Spending time reading it, listening to it, teaching our children, and beware of the philosophies and the teachings and the false teachings that are out there in the world. I didn't read that one earlier. Let me go to the next one. 2 Peter 2 and 2. He says, "And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." There's always going to be false teaching out there, folks. Always has been. And someone may be attending the Church of Christ for years and years and years, and the next thing you know, they've taken some false teaching, hook, line, and sinker, and the way of truth, well, they just ridicule that. They'll speak evil of it. There can arise another generation that just doesn't know God. God will never leave us, but we can leave God. And if we do not heed the warning of Moses in Deuteronomy, another generation will arise which does not know God and will leave God and not keep God's commandments in their life. They will follow some other ideology or false teaching or philosophy out there. I hope and I pray that all of us will heed this warning from the Scriptures and do the best we can keep God at the center of our life and at the lives of our family and at the center of this congregation, so that the next generation after every one of us that are here are dead and gone, and it's our children and their children and our great-grandchildren, and they're the ones worshiping, they'll be doing the same thing. They'll be worshiping God in spirit and in truth. They'll be teaching the same truth from the Word of God, and they'll be grounding their children, and the truth will continue to the next generation and the generation beyond that, and hopefully, my friends, until the Lord comes again. But it starts right now with us, doesn't it? Because we're the generation that's alive now. And future generations and their relationship with God are dependent upon what we do now. There may be somebody here this morning who is not a member of the body of Christ. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to openly confess your faith and repent of your sins, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ. If you are a child of God and you have turned away from the teachings of our Lord and our God and gone into the world, I would hope and I would pray that you would have godly sorrow enough to repent and come home. We, as your brothers and sisters, will pray for you, we'll pray with you, we'll try to do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let it be made known while we stand and sing the psalm which Henry has selected.